Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
How's everyone doing? Good. Today's a great day. Cardinals won a pretend football game. Either way, a win is a win. The Browns won this week. Pretend. I don't know if that helps them at all. Who knows? We'll see what happens with them. Tony, that's Tony's team. But hey, it is so nice to see you on this nice Sunday morning. Today, we're in a section of our series. The series is titled Living Life on Purpose for a Purpose. And as we're studying, we're looking at the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians is a book written by a guy named Paul. And Paul talks about a bunch of different topics when it comes to our life and living a life that is different than everything else that we see in the world around us. And today, as we get to Ephesians chapter 5, the end of it, Paul starts talking about marriage. And so many times we get this idea of marriage, we sort of get it mixed up with what it is. You know, we think in most areas in life, we think having a 50-50 relationship is a pretty good thing, right? If you come halfway, I'll meet you halfway, right? We do that. We do that in life. We expect that in life. We expect somebody to say, hey, well, you carry your burden. You carry your load. You carry your half, and I'll carry mine. And many of us, we expect the same when it comes to our marriage. When we do something, we want something in return. If I'm going to help you in this, or if I'm going to do this, then I want something back. If I'm going to rub your back, you rub mine. And we carry that into our marriage relationship and into all these things. Now, what if I told you marriage isn't always fair? It's not always 50-50. It's actually never 50-50. You see, marriage is about putting the other person first, always. It can get a little uncomfortable this morning. Not going to lie, because I'm not going to be necessarily just like all smiles and everything, because marriage, our world has jacked it up. When we live the life that God has really called for us, it's not natural to live this married life, to live this kind of life. And don't, some of you are like, I'm not married. I've never been married. I don't ever plan on being married. This applies, what we're going to be looking at, it's going to apply to every area of our life. But as we look at this marriage, it's not natural. It's not normal. It's not easy. But when you think. See, for some of us in here, maybe you're thinking about getting married someday. So I ask you, are you preparing yourself now for the person that God has planned for you later? Lord, I thank you for today. God, I ask that you'd speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us, help us walk this life that you've called us to live, Lord. And God, I ask that you would meet each and every one of us this morning. Lord, I ask, God, that you would strengthen marriages, that you'd strengthen relationships all over the valley today as people are sitting at churches, Lord, wanting to be encouraged, needing hope for the week, needing just to know that they're going to make it through today, Lord, whether they're at CCV, Calvary Community, Desert Breeze, Lord, wherever your people are meeting today, God, I ask that you would speak to your people. Speak to us this morning at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, picking up in verse 21. If you do not have a Bible, that's not a problem. We're going to have the verses up here. But if you have a smartphone of any kind, if it's smart enough, not a flip phone, but you go to your YouVersion Bible app, you click over to the bottom right, there's three little lines, click that, that's your more, gives you a little more options there. So you're like, I didn't even know that's what those lines did. Click there, and then you're going to see a thing called events, and that's going to take you to a map where all the things happening. Sort of like if you go to your Google Maps and you want to find out what restaurants are near you, this is going to tell you tons of churches. So some of you are like, I'm checking out City View today, but man, look it, there's churches all over around me. It's a cool thing. Check one of them out. And then you're going to click on City View, and you're going to be able to follow along with me. And then when you go to Citigroup this week, Because I know you guys are all going to go to City Group this week. When you go to City Group this week and they go through the passages that we're going through this morning, you're going to be able to follow along super simply and know exactly where they're going. So picking up verse 21, because we have to start here to get to where we're going. Because we all have to come under the understanding of verse 21. Verse 21 says this, and furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is where it all starts. This attitude of submission to one another. This attitude of putting each other first. This attitude of not you're better than somebody else or you've got it all together better than somebody else, but this attitude of submitting to one another. If we don't start here, then it doesn't matter what else we read. If we come in thinking we are better or we have it all, and this idea of submission, doesn't mean that you're submitting to somebody because they're better. Have you ever had a boss that you know you're way more qualified than them? Maybe you think you do or whatever, but you've had that to where you've had to come underneath somebody else's authority because they have the title of whatever it is, manager, team lead, team trainer, whatever those people are, you know, they have on the name tag, it says like all the titles galore, especially at like Chick-fil-A. It's like, what title? What are you? Area team lead of chicken nugget maker. Okay. All right, cool. Strips or nuggets? I don't know. But have you ever had to come underneath their authority? That's the idea of trusting that authority. And Paul says, we all have to be willing to submit to one another. Come underneath and be there to help one another. Not thinking you're here to serve me. Because we sort of have that attitude of, you're here to serve me. You're here to help me. You're here to, we have that attitude at work. We have that attitude at home. We have that attitude at school. Our kids have that attitude in our homes. Mom and dad, you're here to serve me. Where's my dinner? Where's my snack? Where's my this? I want to watch this on TV. And you're like, I don't care what you want to watch on TV. It's my TV, and I'm going to watch what I want to watch. And if it's something that's not appropriate for you, you're going to bed. I don't care that it's 5 in the afternoon. No, I'm kidding. But you see, that's the idea. But the sad thing is we have seen so many people misuse authority, haven't we? So we can tend to throw this out. I did a vow renewal yesterday at a wedding, and every time I do a wedding or a vow renewal or anything like that, and I share, these are the roles of a husband and wife. And when I come to the role of a wife, where he starts talking about submission, it always gets a little uncomfortable because people all of a sudden start thinking that I want you to call your husband King and Lord and you be some lowly maid in his home that serves him all day long. Because our world and people have ruined God's word. The devil so desires to destroy everything about what I'm about to share about marriage. The devil wants to destroy what marriage looks like. The devil wants to destroy what roles in a marriage look like. The devil wants to destroy marriage, period, because marriage is the picture of Jesus and us. And if the devil can destroy that, then he can destroy so much more. Because he wants us to have this construed picture of what Jesus desires to be in our life. But we, as we go through this passage today, I would like and I'd ask that each and every one of us sit with an open mind. Ready to hear what God has. I know it's hard to sort of push out, well, this is what I've always taught. This is the kind of home. I was raised in a home where mom was always just sort of the slave to dad, and dad was the one barking orders, and dad was abusive, or I was always raised in a home where it was this and it was that. I understand that. This is a picture of what God has now as we look at Ephesians. Because he compares everything to Christ. And he says this, he speaks first to the wives. For wives, verse 22, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands. It's the same word, coming underneath the authority. As a wife comes under her husband's leadership, she follows him. It's not always easy. It's counterculture. It's different than what we see in our world today. It seems old school. It seems like, well, that's what my parents did. That's what they did a long time ago. And I was going to say a date, and I was like, some of you might have been like adults back in that date, so I'm not going to say a date. Like 1800s, I'll say that because none of you are alive. Seems old school. We have this mental picture of a husband sitting on a couch with a beer-stained shirt on, with his feet up, barking out orders saying, bring me another beer while I watch my TV show. Son, get me the remote so I can do. We have that mental picture in our brain of wives, submit to your husband. That's sort of the picture that we get because of the world and what the devil so desires to ruin and destroy, this picture of a lording husband. But is that the kind of picture that God paints of who he is? No. The whole idea here is this idea and this picture that God is painting about this relationship that we are to have with Christ. It says, husbands, submit, or wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, just like you trust him. How many times have we trusted God and we don't really know what he's doing? We don't really know where he's going. How many times have we come underneath Christ's authority going, okay, God, what are you going to do? You see, this picture that the devil is trying to ruin, that God is trying to paint, it's this picture that God is painting of everything that revolves around a relationship with Jesus. You see, Jesus, he submitted to authorities around him. And you say, you don't know my husband. Do you know the kind of authorities Jesus submitted to? Authorities that didn't make sense, authorities that were not in the right, authorities that did very, very wrong things, yet Jesus submitted to the worldly authorities. He didn't have to, but he did, to be an example. They weren't always right. They were not always worthy to submit to, but he did, to be an example. And he says, we are to submit like him, but there were times. There were times, and I'm not saying, my husband's, and some of you might be saying, you don't know what I'm living, the hell I've lived in. Well, there were times where Jesus had to stand up for what was right. There were times where Jesus had to do the countercult. Jesus had to go against the authorities that were before him. There were times that people were straight in the wrong, and he had to say, I cannot submit to this. You see, wives, this is your purpose, to submit, to come underneath the leadership of your husband. It's not a 50-50. In Peter, it talks about that sometimes it talks about how you can win your husband to the Lord as you are submitting to him, as you are coming underneath. It doesn't mean he's better than you. That's not the idea. It's not meaning he's better. He's more qualified. It doesn't mean that he's your Lord. He's your master. He's now your boss. It has nothing to do with that. It's the same idea of us coming underneath the leadership of Jesus, even though he is better than us, coming underneath the leadership of Jesus and trusting where he's going. It's wives, submit and trust your husbands. And some of you are thinking, this is exactly why I hate church. This is exactly why I hate God. Because it's a chauvinistic religion. It's all about men. It's all about letting men lead and letting men do this and letting men do that. Have you read the requirements of what is needed of a husband? Because before you start judging, wait until I read what God demands of the husband, and I hope it changed your heart. Because what God demands of a husband is by far 1,000 times more than God saying, hey, submit to your husbands. Because husbands, you're going to get hopefully a rude awakening to some of you this morning. It isn't. We can look at it saying, God, you want me to just trust, even though I have no idea? God says, you got to trust me. This isn't a, if he does his part, I will do my part. This is a, God is asking you to do this and trust him in it. Jesus leads in a way that puts others first all the time, that loves other people. He forgave, he served, he lived. Jesus says, will you submit and trust me? Because I showed you that I'm trustworthy. And then this is the call that God has to husbands. Husbands, are you ready? Men, are you ready? Those of you young men, you're not married yet, are you ready? Because what this passage is this isn't, submitting is not just something that you do as a wife. This submitting, as I read verse 21, that's something we do in our life every day when we're here at church and we submit. This morning, you know what? You want to know what I had to do this morning? I had to plunge a toilet upstairs. When I was submitting, a toilet was plugged. I could have gone and said, hey, Amos, one of your toilets is plugged and it's broken. But it's not below me. And I'm not trying to brag. But some of us would be like, I don't do toilets. They make me gag. I can tell you a whole lot of things that make me gag, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And here's what he says to husbands. For husbands, this means love your wives. You're like, I can love my wife. I can have sex with my wife. No, that's not what he's talking about. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave himself up. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other such blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their own wives like they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. This is God's call to the husbands. Love your wife just as Christ loves the church. This is big, guys. Men, I hope you're listening right now. Because if we did this as a culture, if we loved our wives just as Christ loved the church, it would change culture. Then you say, well, what does that mean, love? Like, help her around the house, vacuum occasionally? Maybe do dishes? I do dishes already. I mean, that's loving my wife, right? I mean, I bought her flowers this week. I mean, it was the first time in like 17 years, but I bought flowers. This word love is the same word that we see throughout Scripture, agape. And he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. What kind of love did Jesus show the church? He died for the church. He put the church first. He said, I will sacrifice everything for you. So wives, imagine, and husbands, imagine this relationship. Husbands, you're like, well, my wife never respects me. Well, do you love her? Well, yeah. I mean, I tell her she did a great job at home. That's not loving. I mean, that's good. But do you love her? Do you date your wife? Do you cherish your wife? Are you willing to give everything up for your wife? Are you willing to give up the gym for your wife? Are you willing to go out and play? Are you willing to give up golf for your wife? Are you willing to give up going dirt biking for the day for your wife because she had a tough week? Saturday is your day. Saturday is like, that's my day. This is the day that I get to do. She's been all week with the kids. Are you willing to give up one thing for her? Love your wife. Some of you wives are going, man, yes. Preach it, Jeremiah. I'm just going to stay where I'm at right now. This is a self-sacrificing kind of love. This is a giving up the gym, giving up a game, giving up sports time, giving up a dirt bike, giving up a mountain bike. This is a giving up all of this for your wife. This is a putting your wife and your family before you kind of love. A while back, my wife, I don't remember what she did. We were talking about this. She went out and hung out with some friends or something. Like 10 minutes after she leaves, one of our kids just starts throwing up everywhere. Some of you husbands go, I don't do that. Go ahead. You could not die to yourself and not see the reward of what God wants to do through you. And you can go call her and say, honey, I need you home right now because kids are throwing up. You could do that. And you miss out on all the blessings. Because when the Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ, that's bearing a burden so that my wife could go out, and I'm not trying to brag, this is real life story, so that she could go out and have a good time. She doesn't even remember what she did, but she was able to go have fun. And I just loved my kids. Was it a mess? Yeah. Did I like it? No. Did I realize I was doing anything nice in the moment? Probably not. Was I irritated? Yes. I'm like, are you serious right now, God? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And I love this. Look at this. Verses 26 through 28 says, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. Instead, she would be holy and without blame in the same way. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. He says, protect your wife. Have you ever thought, am I treating my wife like Christ treats the church? A couple weeks ago, I started telling you guys a story. I didn't finish it, but I was outside, and I was frustrated. I don't even remember what I was frustrated with. And my wife and I were getting ready to go on a date. I was cleaning the pool. I remember vividly because I ruined our day. And my wife is like, what do you want to do today? I'm like, I already told you what I want to do. I don't remember what I want to do. All I remember is the aftermath of what I did. And she goes, well, we could just run errands. And I go, well, if you would have just done those throughout your week and not just did whatever you did, if you would have gotten that done, we could have had fun tonight. Instead, I made her feel like everything she did that week was a waste of her time and that she should have gotten her stuff done so that I could have a selfish day to myself with my wife. I was not treating my wife like she was a princess of the king. Let me tell you, I felt like a scumbag that whole day because my words hurt her deep. Paul tells us, he says, I hate that I did that. He says, Christ is wanting to make the church beautiful and glorious, that he wants to present the church holy and blameless. He says, in the same way, husbands, we have been given a gift. Our wives, they're lent to us from God. They're his daughters, not ours, to keep. God says, this is my daughter that I am letting you have for a couple years. Cherish her. Love her. I give my bride back to my God, holy and blameless without wrinkle. How are you going to give my daughter back? Girls who are single and you're just sort of trying to figure out your life, do you realize your value and your worth and who you belong to, that you are God's, that he sees you holy and blameless and without wrinkle and pure? Some of you are thinking, without wrinkle, that would be nice right now. Some of you men in here take better care of your body than you do your wife. Some of you men in here don't take care of your body, and that's proof of how you take care of your wife. I know this hurts and this isn't fun, but the reality is we as a church We have allowed marriage to be ruined. We have allowed relationships to be seen wrong, and we have misdone the call God has for us as husbands and wives. But I don't think we're finished. I think we could change, so we could turn that ship. Can you imagine if wives, if you came under the leadership of your husbands, and the women say, why do you live in such a way? And you say, because I honor my husband, because I trust him. And they say, but why? Because my husband loves me so much. And you men, you're at work, and you're like, why don't you ever bash your wife? I mean, all the rest of the guys are always talking about how their wives are such hags, and they're nags, and they're always like ragging on us and complaining about us, but you never do that. Why? Because my wife loves me, and she respects me. Why? Because I love my wife. Can you imagine that world? Because I can. I can see that world. You see, my wife and I, how we protect our marriage when we date. We date each other. We're going out today. We're going to go out on a date today and enjoy time with each other. We communicate. After I hurt her feelings, you know what she did? Sometimes, you guys ever get into that situation where somebody hurts your feelings, you just close up, you don't talk about it, and you're like, no, I'm just going to wait until it just blows over. Anybody ever do that? Because that's what you learned? You just let things blow over? Stop it. That is not healthy. Imagine if you had an infection, you're like, I'm just going to wait till it gets better. More than likely, it's not. It's going to get worse and all nasty, and then you're going to have to cut it off. When I hurt my wife, she says, honey, this hurt me. This hurt. And then I was able to know, okay, I don't ever want to do that again. She could have just been grumpy the whole night and been all quiet, and she could have done that. I'm like, what happened? She was nothing. She could have been like, nothing. It was the kids. But because we communicate, because I love her, she respects me. It's not a 50-50. We both go 110% in. So I want to challenge you today. One, submit to each other. Be willing to serve and love each other. Wives, respect, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And watch God do more than you could ever imagine or think. We are called to live on purpose in our marriage, not just wing it. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.